know in the chat if any problem crops up. I try to glance at it once in a while. And so we're going to go over a few more chapters. Some of the main points of the chapters that Hayek is talking about here. And what I'm going to try to do is mention some of what I think are the highlights or the high points of his discussion. And he was in a lot of places here. He was anticipating some of the big economic issues of the future decades. And some of this literature that I just wrote on the chat, which Cam is putting up on the screen, was subsequent research that really went much further than what Hayek does in these chapters. He just sort of briefly mentions in a paragraph or two or three about the effects of the welfare state, for example. And so I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, and I've put some book recommendations and article recommendations on the subject too. So that's what I'm going to try to do. And keep in mind when he talks about economic planning here in this seventh chapter, he's not talking about the Soviet-style central planning. Remember, his warning, the whole purpose of this book is a warning to the democracies of the world, to England in particular, that you don't need dictatorship to go down the road to serfdom. It is conceivable that under democracy you can still go down the road to totalitarianism for a lot of the reasons we've talked about already. So when he uses the phrase economic planning, he's not talking about the Soviet Union and central government planning. He's essentially talking about democracies and politics, or the politicization of society. In fact, one of Hayek's books published was a book of reading entitled The Politicization of Society. And so that's what he's talking about here. And he doesn't mention, in fact, at this time when he wrote the book, there was no such thing as public choice as a sub-discipline in the field of economics. Now, economic writers and political writers have been writing about what today we call public choice for literally thousands of years. You know, during the Roman Empire, the people were saying some of the things that modern public choice scholars talk about. And so what public choice is one way to think of it is the economic analysis of political decision-making. And Hayek starts to hint at this. He starts to talk about it. He doesn't really elaborate much on it until his much later book in the 1970s, when he wrote Law, Legislation, and Liberty, three volumes. Volume 3 has a lot of so-called public choice economics in it. And that distinguishes his writing of the 1970s from what he wrote about in the 1940s in The Road to Serfdom. And so one of the points I would make about this is if you understand some of the basics about public choice economics, you understand some of the fatal flaws of the whole idea of planning under democracy and how it's supposing this could work seamlessly and correct all the market failures out there, to use the language of economics. And one point that I made already in the class was that under democracy, of course, we have all or none decision making. That means we choose one president, when we have congressional elections, we choose
everybody. Can you hear me? This is Danny Sanchez. I am boss of the
Okay, tell me if we're back. I lost my internet connection there for a minute, and I assume I can see myself. So my back. Dirt says good now. Okay. I love cable monopolies. They're my favorites. Okay.